2. Ride within your abilities 1. Basic vehicle control 2. Keeping your distance 3. SE 4. Intersections 5. Increasing conspicuity 6. Crash avoidance 7. Handling dangerous surfaces 8. Mechanical problems 9. Animals 10. Flying objects 11. Getting off the road 12. Carrying passengers and cargo 13. Group riding ride within your abilities. This manual cannot teach you how to control direction, speed or balance. That's something you can learn only through practice. But control begins with knowing your abilities and riding within them, along with knowing and obeying the rules of the road. 2.1. Basic vehicle control. Body position. To control a motorcycle well, posture, sit so you can use your arms to steer the motorcycle rather than to hold yourself up. Seat, sit far enough forward so that arms are slightly bent when you hold the handle grips. Bending your arms permits you to press on the handlebars without having to stretch. Hands, hold the handle grips firmly to keep your grip over rough surfaces. Start with your right wrist flat. This will help you keep from accidentally using too much throttle. Also, adjust the handlebars so your hands are even with or below your elbows. This permits you to use the proper muscles for precision steering. Knees, keep your knees against the gas tank to help you keep your balance as the motorcycle turns. Feet, keep your feet firmly on the foot pegs to maintain balance. Don't drag your feet. If your foot catches on something, you can be injured and it could affect your control of the motorcycle. Keep your feet near the controls so you can get to them fast if needed. Also, don't let your toes point downward. They may get caught between the road and the foot pegs. Shifting gears. There is more to shifting gears than simply getting the motorcycle to pick up speed smoothly. Learning to use the gears when downshifting, turning or starting on hills is important for safe motorcycle operation. Shift down through the gears with the clutch as you slow or stop. Remain in first gear while you are stopped so that you can move out quickly if you need to. Make certain you are riding slowly enough when you shift into a lower gear. If not, the motorcycle will lurch, and the rear wheel may skid. When riding downhill or shifting into first gear, you may need to use the brakes to slow enough before downshifting safely. Work toward a smooth, even clutch release, especially when downshifting. It is best to change gears before entering a turn. However, sometimes shifting while in the turn is necessary. If so, remember to do so smoothly. A sudden change in power to the rear wheel can cause a skid. Braking. Your motorcycle has two brakes, one each for the front and rear wheel. Use both of them at the same time. The front brake is more powerful and can provide at least 3/4 of your total stopping power. The front brake is safe to use if you use it properly. Remember, use both brakes every time you slow or stop. Using both brakes for even normal stops will permit you to develop the proper habit or skill of using both brakes properly in an emergency. Squeeze the front brake and press down on the rear. Grabbing at the front brake or jamming down on the rear can cause the brakes to lock, resulting in control problems. If you know the technique, using both brakes in a turn is possible, although it should be done very carefully. When leaning the motorcycle, some of the traction is used for cornering. Less traction is available for stopping. A skid can occur if you apply too much brake. Also, using the front brake incorrectly on a slippery surface may be hazardous. Use caution and squeeze the brake lever, never grab. Some motorcycles have integrated braking systems that link the front and rear brakes together by applying the rear brake pedal. Consult the owner's manual for a detailed explanation on the operation and effective use of these systems. Turning riders often try to take curves or turns too fast. When they can't hold the turn, they end up crossing into another lane of traffic or going off the road. Or, they overreact and brake too hard, causing a skid and loss of control. Approach turns and curves with caution. Slow look press roll slow, reduce speed before the turn by closing the throttle and, if necessary, applying both brakes. Look through the turn to where you want to go. Turn just your head, not your shoulders, and keep your eyes level with the horizon. Press, to turn, the motorcycle must lean. To lean the motorcycle, press on the hand grip in the direction of the turn. Press left, lean left, go left. Press right, lean right, go right. Higher speeds and or tighter turns require the motorcycle to lean more. Roll on the throttle through the turn to stabilize suspension. Maintain steady speed or accelerate gradually through the turn. This will help keep the motorcycle stable. In normal turns, the rider and the motorcycle should lean together at the same angle. In slow tight turns, counterbalance by leaning the motorcycle only and keeping your body straight. Test yourself when riding. You should 1. Turn your head and shoulders to look through turns. 2. Keep your arms straight. 3. Keep your knees away from the gas tank. 4. Turn just your head and eyes to look where you are going. Answer, D. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.2. Keeping your distance. The best protection you can have is distance, a cushion of space all around your motorcycle. If someone else makes a mistake, distance permits you time to react, space to maneuver. Lane positions. In some ways, the size of the motorcycle can work to your advantage. Each traffic lane gives a motorcycle 3 paths of travel, as indicated in the illustration. Your lane position should increase your ability to see and be seen. Avoid others' blind spots. Avoid surface hazards. Protect your lane from other drivers. Communicate your intentions. Avoid wind blast from other vehicles. Provide an escape route. Select the appropriate path to maximize your space cushion and make yourself more easily seen by others on the road. In general, there is no single best position for riders to be seen and to maintain a space cushion around the motorcycle. No portion of the lane need be avoided, including the center. Position yourself in the portion of the lane where you are most likely to be seen and you can maintain a space cushion around you. Change position as traffic situations change. Ride in path 2 or 3 if vehicles and other potential problems are on your left only. Remain in path 1 or 2 if hazards are on your right only. If vehicles are being operated on both sides of you, the center of the lane, path 2, is usually your best option. The oily strip in the center portion that collects drippings from cars is usually no more than 2 feet wide. Unless the road is wet, the average center strip permits adequate traction to ride on safely. You can operate to the left or right of the grease strip and still be within the center portion of the traffic lane. Avoid riding on big buildups of oil and grease usually found at busy intersections or toll booths. Following another vehicle following too closely could be a factor in crashes involving motorcyclists. In traffic, motorcycles need as much distance to stop as cars. Normally, a minimum of 2 seconds distance should be maintained behind the vehicle ahead. To gauge your following distance, pick out a marker, such as a pavement marking or lamppost, on or near the road ahead. When the rear bumper of the vehicle ahead passes the marker, count off the seconds, 1001, 1002. If you reach the marker before you reach 2, you are following too closely. A 2-second following distance leaves a minimum amount of space to stop or swerve if the driver ahead stops suddenly. It also permits a better view of potholes and other hazards in the road. A larger cushion of space is needed if your motorcycle will take longer than normal to stop. If the pavement is slippery, if you cannot see through the vehicle ahead, or if traffic is heavy and someone may squeeze in front of you, open up a 3-second or more following distance. Keep well behind the vehicle ahead even when you are stopped. This will make it easier to get out of the way if someone bears down on you from behind. It will also give you a cushion of space if the vehicle ahead starts to back up for some reason. When behind a car, ride where the driver can see you in the rearview mirror. Riding in the center portion of the lane should put your image in the middle of the rearview mirror where a driver is most likely to see you. Riding at the far side of a lane may permit a driver to see you in a side view mirror. But remember that most drivers don't look at their side view mirrors nearly as often as they check the rearview mirror. If the traffic situation allows, the center portion of the lane is usually the best place for you to be seen by the drivers ahead and to prevent lane sharing by others. Being followed, speeding up to lose someone following too closely only ends up with someone tailgating you at a higher speed. A better way to handle tailgaters is to get them in front of you. When someone is following too closely, change lanes and let them pass. If you can't do this, slow down and open up extra space ahead of you to allow room for both you and the tailgater to stop. This will also encourage them to pass. If they don't pass, you will have given yourself and the tailgater more time and space to react in case an emergency does develop ahead. Passing and being passed by another vehicle is not much different than with a car. However, visibility is more critical. Be sure other drivers see you, and that you see potential hazards. Passing 1. Ride in the left portion of the lane at a safe following distance to increase your line of sight and make you more visible. Signal and check for oncoming traffic. Use your mirrors and turn your head to look for traffic behind. 2. When safe, move into the left lane and accelerate. Select a lane position that doesn't crowd the car you are passing and provides space to avoid hazards in your lane. 3. Ride through the blind spot as quickly as possible. 4. Signal again, and complete mirror and head checks before returning to your original lane and then cancel the signal. Remember, passes must be completed within posted speed limits, and only where permitted. Know your signs and road markings. Being passed: when you are being passed from behind or by an oncoming vehicle, stay in the center portion of your lane. Riding any closer to them could put you in a hazardous situation. Avoid being hit by the other vehicle. A slight mistake by you or the passing driver could cause a side swipe. Extended mirrors: some drivers forget that their mirrors hang out farther than their fenders. Objects thrown from windows: even if the driver knows you're there, a passenger may not see you and might toss something on you or the road ahead of you. Blasts of wind from larger vehicles: they can affect your control. You have more room for error if you are in the middle portion when hit by this blast than if you were on either side of the lane. Do not move into the portion of the lane farthest from the passing vehicle. It might invite the other driver to cut back into your lane too early. Lane-sharing cars and motorcycles need the full lane to operate safely. Lane-sharing is usually prohibited. Riding between rows of stopped or moving cars in the same lane can leave you vulnerable to the unexpected. A hand could come out of a window. A door could open. A car could turn suddenly. Discourage lane-sharing by others. Keep a center portion position whenever drivers might be tempted to squeeze by you. Drivers are most tempted to do this in heavy, bumper-to-bumper traffic, when they want to pass you, when you are preparing to turn at an intersection, when you are getting in an exit lane or leaving a highway. Merging cars: drivers on an entrance ramp may not see you on the highway. Give them plenty of room. Change to another lane if one is open. If there is no room for a lane change, adjust speed to open up space for the merging driver. Cars alongside: do not ride next to cars or trucks in other lanes if you do not have to. You might be in the blind spot of a car in the next lane, which could switch into your lane without warning. Cars in the next lane also block your escape if you come upon danger in your own lane. Speed up or drop back to find a place clear of traffic on both sides. Test yourself usually, A good way to handle tailgaters is to 1. Change lanes and let them pass. 2. Use your horn and make obscene gestures. 3. Speed up to put distance between you and the tailgater. 4. Ignore them. Answer: A. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.3. CSE good experienced riders remain aware of what is going on around them. They improve their riding strategy by using SEE, a three-step process used to make appropriate judgments, and apply them correctly in different traffic situations. Search, evaluate, execute. Let's examine each of these steps. Search. Search aggressively ahead, to the sides and behind to avoid potential hazards even before they arise. How assertively you search, and how much time and space you have, can eliminate or reduce harm. Focus even more on finding potential escape routes in or around intersections, shopping areas and school and construction zones. Search for factors such as oncoming traffic that may turn left in front of you, traffic coming from the left and right, traffic approaching from behind, hazardous road conditions. Be especially alert in areas with limited visibility. Visually busy surroundings could hide you and your motorcycle from others. Evaluate. Think about how hazards can interact to create risk for you. Anticipate potential problems and have a plan to reduce risk. Road and surface characteristics, potholes, guardrails, bridges, telephone poles and trees won't move into your path but may influence your riding strategy. Traffic control devices, look for traffic signals, including regulatory signs, warning signs, and pavement markings, to help you evaluate circumstances ahead. Vehicles and other traffic may move into your path and increase the likelihood of a crash. Think about your time and space requirements in order to maintain a margin of safety. You must leave yourself time to react if an emergency arises. Execute. Carry out your decision. To create more space and minimize harm from any hazard, communicate your presence with lights and/or horn. Adjust your speed by accelerating, stopping or slowing. Adjust your position and/or direction. Apply the old adage one step at a time to handle two or more hazards. Adjust speed to permit two hazards to separate. Then deal with them one at a time as single hazards. Decision-making becomes more complex with three or more hazards. Weigh the consequences of each and give equal distance to the hazards. In potential high-risk areas, such as intersections, shopping areas and school and construction zones, cover the clutch and both brakes to reduce the time you need to react. Test yourself to reduce your reaction time. You should 1. Ride slower than the speed limit. 2. Cover the clutch and the brakes. 3. Shift into neutral when slowing. 4. Pull in the clutch when turning. Answer: B. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.4. Intersections. The greatest potential for conflict between you and other traffic is at intersections. An intersection can be in the middle of an urban area or at a driveway on a residential street. Anywhere traffic may cross your path of travel. Over one half of motorcycle car crashes are caused by drivers entering a rider's right of way. Cars that turn left in front of you, including cars turning left from the lane to your right, and cars on side streets that pull into your lane, are the biggest dangers. Your use of SEE at intersections is critical. There are no guarantees that others see you. Never count on eye contact as a sign that a driver will yield. Too often, a driver looks right at a motorcyclist and still fails to see him. The only eyes that you can count on are your own. If a car can enter your path, assume that it will. Good riders are always looking for trouble, not to get into it, but to stay out of it. Increase your chances of being seen at intersections. Ride with your headlight on in a lane position that provides the best view of oncoming traffic. Provide a space cushion around the motorcycle that permits you to take evasive action. As you approach the intersection, Select a lane position to increase your visibility to the driver. Cover the clutch and both brakes to reduce reaction time. Reduce your speed as you approach an intersection. After entering the intersection, move away from vehicles preparing to turn. Do not change speed or position radically. The driver might think that you are preparing to turn. Blind intersections. If you approach a blind intersection, move to the portion of the lane that will bring you into another driver's field of vision at the earliest possible moment. In this picture, the rider has moved to the left portion of the lane, away from the parked car, so the driver on the cross street can see him as soon as possible. Remember, the key is to see as much as possible and remain visible to others while protecting your space. If you have a stop sign or stop line, stop there first. Then edge forward and stop again, just short of where the cross traffic lane meets your lane. From that position, lean your body forward and look around buildings, parked cars, or bushes to see if anything is coming. Just make sure your front wheel stays out of the cross lane of travel while you're looking. Passing parked cars. When passing parked cars, stay toward the left of your lane. You can avoid problems caused by doors opening, drivers getting out of cars, or people stepping from between cars. If oncoming traffic is present, it is usually best to remain in the center lane position to maximize your space cushion. A bigger problem can occur if the driver pulls away from the curb without checking for traffic behind. Even if he does look, he may fail to see you. In either event, the driver might cut into your path. Slow down or change lanes to make room for someone cutting in. Cars making a sudden U-turn are the most dangerous. They may cut you off entirely, blocking the whole roadway and leaving you with no place to go. Since you can't tell what a driver will do, slow down and get the driver's attention. Sound your horn and continue with caution. Parking at the roadside. Park at a 90 angle to the curb with your rear wheel touching the curb. Test yourself making eye contact with other drivers. 1. Is a good sign they see you. 2. Is not worth the effort it takes. 3. Doesn't mean that the driver will yield. 4. Guarantees that the other driver will yield to you. Answer. C. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.5. Increasing conspicuity in crashes with motorcyclists. Drivers often say that they never saw the motorcycle. From ahead or behind, a motorcycle's outline is much smaller than a car's. Also, it's hard to see something you are not looking for, and most drivers are not looking for motorcycles. More likely, they're looking through the skinny, two-wheeled silhouette in search of cars that may pose a problem to them. Even if a driver does see you coming, you aren't necessarily safe. Smaller vehicles appear farther away and seem to be traveling slower than they actually are. It is common for drivers to pull out in front of motorcyclists, thinking they have plenty of time. Too often, they are wrong. However, you can do many things to make it easier for others to recognize you and your cycle. Clothing. Most crashes occur in broad daylight. Wear bright colored clothing to increase your chances of being seen. Remember, your body is half of the visible surface area of the rider/motorcycle unit. Bright orange, red, yellow or green jackets or vest are your best bets for being seen. Your helmet can do more than protect you in a crash. Brightly colored helmets can also help others see you. Any bright color is better than drab or dark colors. Reflective, bright colored clothing. Helmet and jacket or vest is best. Reflective material on a vest and on the sides of the helmet will help drivers coming from the side to spot you. Reflective material can also be a big help for drivers coming toward you or from behind. Headlight. The best way to help others see your motorcycle is to keep the headlight on at all times. Although motorcycles sold in the US since 1978 automatically have the headlights on when running, studies show that, during the day, A motorcycle with its light on is twice as likely to be noticed. Use of the high beam during the day increases the likelihood that oncoming drivers will see you. Use the low beam at night and in cloudy weather. Signals: the signals on a motorcycle are similar to those on a car. They tell others what you plan to do. However, due to a rider's added vulnerability, signals are even more important. Use them anytime you plan to change lanes or turn. Use them even when you think no one else is around. It's the car you don't see that's going to give you the most trouble. Your signal lights also make you easier to spot. That's why it's a good idea to use your turn signals even when what you plan to do is obvious. When you enter onto a freeway, drivers approaching from behind are more likely to see your signal blinking and make room for you. Turning your signal light on before each turn reduces confusion and frustration for the traffic around you. Once you turn, make sure your signal is off or a driver may pull directly into your path, thinking you plan to turn again. Use your signals at every turn so drivers can react accordingly. Don't make them guess what you intend to do. Brake lights: your motorcycle's brake light is usually not as noticeable as the brake lights on a car, particularly when your taillight is on. It goes on with the headlight. If the situation will permit, help others notice you by flashing your brake light before you slow down. It is especially important to flash your brake light before you slow more quickly than others might expect turning off a high-speed highway. You slow where others may not expect it, in the middle of a block or at an alley. If you are being followed closely, it's a good idea to flash your brake light before you slow. The tailgater may be watching you and not see something ahead that will make you slow down. This will hopefully discourage them from tailgating and warn them of hazards ahead they may not see. Using your mirrors: while it's most important to keep track of what's happening ahead, you can't afford to ignore situations behind. Traffic conditions change quickly. Knowing what's going on behind is essential for you to make a safe decision about how to handle trouble ahead. Frequent mirror checks should be part of your normal searching routine. Make a special point of using your mirrors when you are stopped at an intersection. Watch cars coming up from behind. If the driver isn't paying attention, he could be on top of you before he sees you. Before you change lanes, make sure no one is about to pass you. Before you slow down, the driver behind may not expect you to slow, or may be unsure about where you will slow. For example, you signal a turn and the driver thinks you plan to turn at a distant intersection, rather than at a nearer driveway. Some motorcycles have rounded convex mirrors. These provide a wider view of the road behind than do flat mirrors. They also make cars seem farther away than they really are. If you are not used to convex mirrors, get familiar with them. While you are stopped, pick out a parked car in your mirror. Form a mental image of how far away it is. Then, turn around and look at it to see how close you came. Practice with your mirrors until you become a good judge of distance. Even then, allow extra distance before you change lanes. Head checks: checking your mirrors is not enough. Motorcycles have blind spots like cars. Before you change lanes, turn your head and look to the side for other vehicles. On a road with several lanes, check the far lane and the one next to you. A driver in the distant lane may head for the same space you plan to take. Frequent head checks should be your normal scanning routine. Also, only by knowing what is happening all around you are you fully prepared to deal with it. Horn: be ready to use your horn to get someone's attention quickly. It is a good idea to give a quick beep before passing anyone that may move into your lane. Here are some situations: a driver in the lane next to you is driving too closely to the vehicle ahead and may want to pass. A parked car has someone in the driver's seat. Someone is in the street, riding a bicycle or walking. In an emergency, press the horn button loud and long. Be ready to stop or swerve away from the danger. Keep in mind that a motorcycle's horn isn't as loud as a car's, therefore, use it, but don't rely on it. Other strategies may be appropriate along with the horn. Riding at night. At night it is harder for you to see and be seen. Picking your headlight or taillight out of the car lights around you is not easy for other drivers. To compensate, you should reduce your speed, ride even slower than you would during the day, particularly on roads you don't know well. This will increase your chances of avoiding a hazard. Increase distance. Distances are harder to judge at night than during the day. Your eyes rely upon shadows and light contrasts to determine how far away an object is and how fast it is coming. These contrasts are missing or distorted under artificial lights at night. Open up a 3-second following distance or more, and allow more distance to pass and be passed. Use the car ahead. The headlights of the car ahead can give you a better view of the road than even your high beam can. Taillights bouncing up and down can alert you to bumps or rough pavement. Use your high beam, get all the light you can. Use your high beam whenever you are not following or meeting a car. Be visible, wear reflective materials when riding at night. Be flexible about lane position. Change to whatever portion of the lane is best able to help you see, be seen and keep an adequate space cushion. Test yourself. Reflective clothing should 1. Be worn at night. 2. Be worn during the day. 3. Not be worn. 4. Be worn day and night. Answer, D. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.6. Crash avoidance. Crash avoidance. No matter how careful you are, there will be times when you find yourself in a tight spot. Your chances of getting out safely depend on your ability to react quickly and properly. Often, a crash occurs because a rider is not prepared or skilled in crash avoidance maneuvers. Know when and how to stop or swerve, two skills critical to avoiding a crash. It is not always desirable or possible to stop quickly to avoid an obstacle. Riders must also be able to swerve around an obstacle. Determining the skill necessary for the situation is important as well. Studies show that most crash involved riders underbrake the front tire and overbrake the rear, did not separate braking from swerving, or did not choose swerving when it was appropriate. The following information offers some good advice. Quick stops. To stop quickly, apply both brakes at the same time. Don't be shy about using the front brake, but don't grab it, either. Squeeze the brake lever firmly and progressively. If the front wheel locks, release the front brake immediately, then reapply it firmly. At the same time, press down on the rear brake. If you accidentally lock the rear brake on a good traction surface, keep it locked until you have completely stopped. Even with a locked rear wheel, you can control the motorcycle on a straightaway if it is upright and going in a straight line. Always use both brakes at the same time to stop. The front brake can provide 70% or more of the potential stopping power. If you must stop quickly while turning or riding a curve, the best technique is to straighten the bike upright first and then brake. However, it may not always be possible to straighten the motorcycle and then stop. If you must brake while leaning, apply light brakes and reduce the throttle. As you slow, you can reduce your lean angle and apply more brake pressure until the motorcycle is straight and maximum brake pressure is possible. You should straighten the handlebars in the last few feet of stopping. The motorcycle should then be straight up and in balance. Swerving or turning quickly, sometimes you may not have enough room to stop, even if you use both brakes properly. An object might appear suddenly in your path, or the car ahead might squeal to a stop. The only way to avoid a crash may be to turn quickly, or swerve around it. A swerve is any sudden change in direction. It can be two quick turns, or a rapid shift to the side. Apply a small amount of hand pressure to the handle grip located on the side of your intended direction of escape. This will cause the motorcycle to lean quickly. The sharper the turn S, the more the motorcycle must lean. Keep your body upright and allow the motorcycle to lean in the direction of the turn while keeping your knees against the tank and your feet solidly on the pegs. Let the motorcycle move underneath you. Make your escape route the target of your vision. Press on the opposite handle grip once you clear the obstacle to return you to your original direction of travel. To swerve to the left, press the left handle grip, then press the right to recover. To swerve to the right, press right, then left. If braking is required, separate it from swerving. Brake before or after, never while swerving. Cornering, a primary cause of single vehicle crashes is motorcyclists running wide in a curve or turn and colliding with the roadway or a fixed object. Every curve is different. Be alert to whether a curve remains constant, gradually widens, gets tighter, or involves multiple turns. Ride within your skill level and posted speed limits. Your best path may not always follow the curve of the road. Change lane position depending on traffic, road conditions, and curve of the road. If no traffic is present, start at the outside of a curve to increase your line of sight and the effective radius of the turn. As you turn, move toward the inside of the curve, and as you pass the center, move to the outside to exit. Another alternative is to move to the center of your lane before entering a curve, and stay there until you exit. This permits you to spot approaching traffic as soon as possible. You can also adjust for traffic crowding the center line, or debris blocking part of your lane. Test yourself. The best way to stop quickly is to 1. Use the front brake only. 2. Use the rear brake first. 3. Throttle down and use the front brake. 4. Use both brakes at the same time. Answer, D. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.7. Handling dangerous surfaces. Handling dangerous surfaces, your chance of falling or being involved in a crash increases whenever you ride across uneven surfaces or obstacles. Slippery surfaces. Railroad tracks. Grooves and gratings. Uneven surfaces and obstacles. Watch for uneven surfaces such as bumps, broken pavement, potholes, or small pieces of highway trash. Try to avoid obstacles by slowing or going around them. If you must go over the obstacle, first determine if it is possible. Approach it at as close to a 90 angle as possible. Look where you want to go to control your path of travel. If you have to ride over the obstacle, you should slow down as much as possible before contact. Make sure the motorcycle is straight. Rise slightly off the seat with your weight on the foot pegs to absorb the shock with your knees and elbows, and avoid being thrown off the motorcycle. Just before contact, roll on the throttle slightly to lighten the front end. If you ride over an object on the street, pull off the road and check your tires and rims for damage before riding any farther. Slippery surfaces. Motorcycles handle better when ridden on surfaces that permit good traction. Surfaces that provide poor traction include wet pavement, particularly just after it starts to rain and before surface oil washes to the side of the road. Gravel roads, or where sand and gravel collect. Mud, snow, and ice. Lane markings, steel plates and manhole covers, especially when wet. To ride safely on slippery surfaces, reduce speed, slow down before you get to a slippery surface to lessen your chances of skidding. Your motorcycle needs more distance to stop. And it is particularly important to reduce speed before entering wet curves. Avoid sudden moves. Any sudden change in speed or direction can cause a skid. Be as smooth as possible when you speed up, shift gears, turn or brake. Use both brakes. The front brake is still effective, even on a slippery surface. Squeeze the brake lever gradually to avoid locking the front wheel. Remember, gentle pressure on the rear brake. The center of a lane can be hazardous when wet. When it starts to rain, ride in the tire tracks left by cars. Often, the left tire track will be the best position, depending on traffic and other road conditions as well. Watch for oil spots when you put your foot down to stop or park. You may slip and fall. Dirt and gravel collect along the sides of the road, especially on curves and ramps leading to and from highways. Be aware of what's on the edge of the road, particularly when making sharp turns and getting on or off freeways at high speeds. Rain dries and snow melts faster on some sections of a road than on others. Patches of ice tend to crop up in low or shaded areas and on bridges and overpasses. Wet surfaces or wet leaves are just as slippery. Ride on the least slippery portion of the lane and reduce speed. Cautious riders steer clear of roads covered with ice or snow. If you can't avoid a slippery surface, keep your motorcycle straight up and proceed as slowly as possible. If you encounter a large surface so slippery that you must coast or travel at a walking pace, consider letting your feet skim along the surface. If the motorcycle starts to fall, you can catch yourself. Be sure to keep off the brakes. If possible, squeeze the clutch and coast. Attempting this maneuver at anything other than the slowest of speeds could prove hazardous. Railroad tracks, trolley tracks and pavement seems usually it is safer to ride straight within your lane to cross tracks. Turning to take tracks head-on at a 90 angle can be more dangerous. Your path may carry you into another lane of traffic. For track and road seams that run parallel to your course, move far enough away from tracks, ruts, or pavement seams to cross at an angle of at least 45, then make a quick, sharp turn. Edging across could catch your tires and throw you off balance. Grooves and gratings. Riding over rain grooves or bridge gratings may cause a motorcycle to weave. The uneasy, wandering feeling is generally not hazardous. Relax, maintain a steady speed and ride straight across. Crossing at an angle forces riders to zigzag to stay in the lane. The zigzag is far more hazardous than the wandering feeling. Test yourself when it starts to rain. It is usually best to 1. Ride in the center of the lane. 2. Pull off to the side until the rain stops. 3. Ride in the tire tracks left by cars. 4. Increase your speed. Answer, C. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.8. Mechanical problems. Mechanical problems. You can find yourself in an emergency the moment something goes wrong with your motorcycle. In dealing with any mechanical problem, take into account the road and traffic conditions you face. Here are some guidelines that can help you handle mechanical problems safely. Tire failure. You will seldom hear a tire go flat. If the motorcycle starts handling differently, it may be a tire failure. This can be dangerous. You must be able to tell from the way the motorcycle reacts. If one of your tires suddenly loses air, react quickly to keep your balance. Pull off and check the tires. If the front tire goes flat, the steering will feel heavy. A front wheel flat is particularly hazardous because it affects your steering. You have to steer well to keep your balance. If the rear tire goes flat, the back of the motorcycle may jerk or sway from side to side. If either tire goes flat while riding, hold handle grips firmly, ease off the throttle, and keep a straight course. If braking is required, however, gradually apply the brake of the tire that isn't flat, if you are sure which one it is. When the motorcycle slows, edge to the side of the road, squeeze the clutch and stop. Stuck throttle. Twist the throttle back and forth several times. If the throttle cable is stuck, this may free it. If the throttle stays stuck, immediately operate the engine cutoff switch and pull in the clutch at the same time. This will remove power from the rear wheel, though engine noise may not immediately decline. Once the motorcycle is under control, pull off and stop. After you have stopped, check the throttle cable carefully to find the source of the trouble. Make certain the throttle works freely before you start to ride again. Wobble a wobble occurs when the front wheel and handlebars suddenly start to shake from side to side at any speed. Most wobbles can be traced to improper loading, unsuitable accessories or incorrect tire pressure. If you are carrying a heavy load, lighten it. If you can't, shift it. Center the weight lower and farther forward on the motorcycle. Make sure tire pressure, spring preload, air shocks and dampers are at the settings recommended for that much weight. Make sure windshields and fairings are mounted properly. Check for poorly adjusted steering. Worn steering parts. A front wheel that is bent, misaligned, or out of balance. Loose wheel bearings or spokes. And swing arm bearings. If none of these are determined to be the cause, have the motorcycle checked out thoroughly by a qualified professional. Trying to accelerate out of a wobble will only make the motorcycle more unstable. Instead, grip the handlebars firmly, but don't fight the wobble. Close the throttle gradually to slow down. Do not apply the brakes. Braking could make the wobble worse. Move your weight as far forward and down as possible. Pull off the road as soon as you can to fix the problem. Chain problems: a chain that slips or breaks while you're riding could lock the rear wheel and cause your cycle to skid. Chain slippage or breakage can be avoided by proper maintenance. Slippage: if the chain slips when you try to speed up quickly or ride uphill, pull off the road. Check the chain and sprockets. Tightening the chain may help. If the problem is a worn or stretched chain or worn or bent sprockets, replace the chain, the sprockets or both before riding again. Breakage: you'll notice an instant loss of power to the rear wheel. Close the throttle and brake to a stop. Engine seizure: when the engine locks or freezes, it is usually low on oil. The engine's moving parts can't move smoothly against each other, and the engine overheats. The first sign may be a loss of engine power or a change in the engine's sound. Squeeze the clutch lever to disengage the engine from the rear wheel. Pull off the road and stop. Check the oil. If needed, oil should be added as soon as possible or the engine will seize. When this happens, the effect is the same as a locked rear wheel. Let the engine cool before restarting. Test yourself if your motorcycle starts to wobble. 1. Accelerate out of the wobble. 2. Use the brakes gradually. 3. Grip the handlebars firmly and close the throttle gradually. 4. Downshift. Answer: see, move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.9. Animals naturally, you should do everything you safely can to avoid hitting an animal. If you are in traffic, however, remain in your lane. Hitting something small is less dangerous to you than hitting something big like a car. Motorcycles seem to attract dogs. If you are chased, downshift and approach the animal slowly. As you approach it, accelerate away and leave the animal behind. Don't kick at an animal. Keep control of your motorcycle and look to where you want to go. For larger animals, deer, elk, cattle, brake and prepare to stop. They are unpredictable. Test yourself if you are chased by a dog. 1. Kick it away. 2. Stop until the animal loses interest. 3. Swerve around the animal. 4. Approach the animal slowly, then speed up. Answer: D. Move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.10. Flying objects from time to time. Riders are struck by insects, cigarettes thrown from cars or pebbles kicked up by the tires of the vehicle ahead. If you are wearing face protection, it might get smeared or cracked, making it difficult to see. Without face protection, an object could hit you in the eye, face or mouth. Whatever happens, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the handlebars. When safe, pull off the road and repair the damage. 2.11. Getting off the road. If you need to leave the road to check the motorcycle or just to rest for a while, be sure you check the roadside, Make sure the surface of the roadside is firm enough to ride on. If it is soft grass, loose sand, or if you're just not sure about it, slow way down before you turn onto it. Signal: drivers behind might not expect you to slow down. Give a clear signal that you will be slowing down and changing direction. Check your mirror and make a head check before you take any action. Pull off the road, get as far off the road as you can. It can be very hard to spot a motorcycle by the side of the road. You don't want someone else pulling off at the same place you are. Park carefully. Loose and sloped shoulders can make setting the side or center stand difficult. 2.12. Carrying passengers and cargo only experienced riders should carry passengers or large loads. The extra weight changes the way the motorcycle handles, balances, speeds up and slows down. Before taking a passenger or a heavy load on the street, practice away from traffic. Equipment to carry passengers safely: equip and adjust your motorcycle to carry passengers. Instruct the passenger before you start. Adjust your riding technique for the added weight. Equipment should include a proper seat, large enough to hold both of you without crowding. You should not sit any farther forward than you usually do. Foot pegs, for the passenger. Firm footing prevents your passenger from falling off and pulling you off, too. Protective equipment, the same protective gear recommended for operators. Adjust the suspension to handle the additional weight. You will probably need to add a few pounds of pressure to the tires if you carry a passenger. Check your owner's manual for appropriate settings. While your passenger sits on the seat with you, adjust the mirror and headlight according to the change in the motorcycle's angle. Instructing passengers: even if your passenger is a motorcycle rider, provide complete instructions before you start. Tell your passenger to get on the motorcycle only after you have started the engine. Sit as far forward as possible without crowding you. Hold firmly to your waist, hips or belt. Keep both feet on the pegs, even when stopped. Keep legs away from the muffler S, chains or moving parts. Stay directly behind you, leaning as you lean. Avoid unnecessary talk or motion. Also, tell your passenger to tighten his or her hold when you approach surface problems. Are about to start from a stop. Warn that you will make a sudden move. Riding with passengers, your motorcycle will respond more slowly with a passenger on board. The heavier your passenger, the longer it will take to slow down and speed up, especially on a light motorcycle. Ride a little slower, especially when taking curves, corners or bumps. Start slowing earlier as you approach a stop. Open up a larger cushion of space ahead and to the sides. Wait for larger gaps to cross, enter or merge in traffic. Warn your passenger of special conditions: when you will pull out, stop quickly, turn sharply or ride over a bump. Turn your head slightly to make yourself understood, but keep your eyes on the road ahead. Carrying loads: most motorcycles are not designed to carry much cargo. Small loads can be carried safely if positioned and fastened properly. Keep the load low, fasten loads securely, or put them in saddle bags. Piling loads against a sissy bar or frame on the back of the seat raises the motorcycle's center of gravity and disturbs its balance. Keep the load forward, place the load over, or in front of, the rear axle. Tank bags keep loads forward, but use caution when loading hard or sharp objects. Make sure the tank bag does not interfere with handlebars or controls. Mounting loads behind the rear axle can affect how the motorcycle turns and brakes. It can also cause a wobble. Distribute the load evenly. Load saddle bags with about the same weight. An uneven load can cause the motorcycle to drift to one side. Secure the load. Fasten the load securely with elastic cords, bungee cords or nets. Elastic cords with more than one attachment point per side are more secure. A tight load won't catch in the wheel or chain, causing it to lock up and skid. Rope tends to stretch and knots come loose, permitting the load to shift or fall. Check the load. Stop and check the load every so often to make sure it has not worked loose or moved. Test yourself. Passenger should 1. Lean as you lean. 2. Hold on to the motorcycle seat. 3. Sit as far back as possible. 4. Never hold on to you. Answer, a move your mouse over to see the answer. 2.13. Group riding. Group riding. If you ride with others, do it in a way that promotes safety and doesn't interfere with the flow of traffic. Keep the group small. Small groups make it easier and safer for car drivers who need to get around them. A small number isn't separated as easily by traffic or red lights. Riders won't always be hurrying to catch up. If your group is larger than 4 or 5 riders, divide it up into 2 or more smaller groups. Keep the group together. Plan. The leader should look ahead for changes and signal early so the word gets back in plenty of time. Start lane changes early to permit everyone to complete the change. Put beginners up front, placing experienced riders just behind the leader. That way the more experienced riders can watch them from the back. Follow those behind, let the tail ender set the pace. Use your mirrors to keep an eye on the person behind. If a rider falls behind, everyone should slow down a little to stay with the tail ender. Know the route, make sure everyone knows the route. Then, if someone is separated, they won't have to hurry to keep from getting lost or taking a wrong turn. Plan frequent stops on long rides. Keep your distance, maintain close ranks, but at the same time keep a safe distance to allow each rider in the group time and space to react to hazards. A close group takes up less space on the highway, is easier to see, and is less likely to be separated. However, it must be done properly. Don't pair up. Never operate directly alongside another rider. There is no place to go if you have to avoid a car or something on the road. To talk, wait until you are both stopped. Staggered formation. This is the best way to keep ranks close yet maintain an adequate space cushion. The leader rides in the left side of the lane, while the second rider stays 1 second behind in the right side of the lane. A third rider maintains in the left position, 2 seconds behind the first rider. The fourth rider would keep a 2 second distance behind the second rider. This formation keeps the group close and permits each rider a safe distance from others ahead, behind, and to the sides. Passing in formation, riders in a staggered formation should pass one at a time. First, the lead rider should pull out and pass when it is safe. After passing, the leader should return to the left position and continue riding at passing speed to open room for the next rider. After the first rider passes safely, the second rider should move up to the left position and watch for a safe chance to pass. After passing, this rider should return to the right position and open up room for the next rider. Some people suggest that the leader should move to the right side after passing a vehicle. This is not a good idea. It encourages the second rider to pass and cut back in before there is a large enough space cushion in front of the passed vehicle. It's simpler and safer to wait until there is enough room ahead of the passed vehicle to allow each rider to move into the same position held before the pass. Single file formation. It is best to move into a single file formation when riding curves, turning, entering or leaving a highway. Test yourself when riding in a group. Inexperienced riders should position themselves, 1. Just behind the leader. 2. In front of the group. 3. At the tail end of the group. 4. Beside the leader. Answer, a move your mouse over to see the answer. It takes time to recover from this blindness. Older drivers are especially bothered by glare. Most people have been temporarily blinded by camera flash units or by the high beams of an oncoming vehicle. It can take several seconds to recover from glare. Even 2 seconds of glare blindness can be dangerous. A vehicle going 55 mph will travel more than half the distance of a football field during that time. Don't look directly at bright lights when driving. Look at the right side of the road. Watch the sidelines when someone coming toward you has very bright lights on. Fatigue and lack of alertness. Fatigue, being tired, and lack of alertness are bigger problems at night. The body's need for sleep is beyond a person's control. Most people are less alert at night, especially after midnight. This is particularly true if you have been driving for a long time. Drivers may not see hazards as soon or react as quickly, so the chance of a crash is greater. If you are sleepy, the only safe cure is to get off the road and get some sleep. If you don't, you risk your life and the lives of others. 2.11.3 Roadway Factors. Poor lighting. In the daytime there is usually enough light to see well. This is not true at night. Some areas may have bright street lights, but many areas will have poor lighting. On most roads you will probably have to depend entirely on your headlights. Less light means you will not be able to see hazards as well as in daytime. Road users who do not have lights are hard to see. There are many accidents at night involving pedestrians, joggers, bicyclists, and animals. Even when there are lights, the road scene can be confusing. Traffic signals and hazards can be hard to see against a background of signs, shop windows, and other lights. Drive slower when lighting is poor or confusing. Drive slowly enough to be sure you can stop in the distance you can see ahead. Drunk drivers. Drunk drivers and drivers under the influence of drugs are a hazard to themselves and to you. Be especially alert around the closing times for bars and taverns. Watch for drivers who have trouble staying in their lane or maintaining speed, who stop without reason, or show other signs of being under the influence of alcohol or drugs. 2.11.4 Vehicle Factors. Headlights. At night your headlights will usually be the main source of light for you to see by and for others to see you. You can't see nearly as much with your headlights as you see in the daytime. With low beams you can see ahead about 250 feet and with high beams about 350-500 feet. You must adjust your speed to keep your stopping distance within your sight distance. This means going slowly enough to be able to stop within the range of your headlights. Otherwise, by the time you see a hazard, you will not have time to stop. Night driving can be more dangerous if you have problems with your headlights. Dirty headlights may give only half the light they should. This cuts down your ability to see, and makes it harder for others to see you. Make sure your lights are clean and working. Headlights can be out of adjustment. If they don't point in the right direction, they won't give you a good view and they can blind other drivers. Have a qualified person make sure they are adjusted properly. Other lights. In order for you to be seen easily, the following must be clean and working properly: reflectors, marker lights, clearance lights, tail lights, identification lights, turn signals and brake lights. At night your turn signals and brake lights are even more important for telling other drivers what you intend to do. Make sure you have clean, working turn signals and stop lights. Windshield and mirrors. It is more important at night than in the daytime to have a clean windshield and clean mirrors. Bright lights at night can cause dirt on your windshield or mirrors to create a glare of its own, blocking your view. Most people have experienced driving toward the sun just as it has risen or is about to set, and found that they can barely see through a windshield that seemed to look okay in the middle of the day. Clean your windshield on the inside and outside for safe driving at night. 2.11.5 Night Driving Procedures. Pre-trip procedures. Make sure you are rested and alert. If you are drowsy, sleep before you drive. Even a nap can save your life or the lives of others. If you wear eyeglasses, make sure they are clean and unscratched. Don't wear sunglasses at night. Do a complete pre-trip inspection of your vehicle. Pay attention to checking all lights and reflectors, and cleaning those you can reach. Avoid blinding others. Glare from your headlights can cause problems for drivers coming toward you. They can also bother drivers going in the same direction you are when your lights shine in their rearview mirrors. Dim your lights before they cause glare for other drivers. Dim your lights within 500 feet of an oncoming vehicle and when following another vehicle within 500 feet. Avoid glare from oncoming vehicles. Do not look directly at lights of oncoming vehicles. Look slightly to the right at a right lane or edge marking, if available. If other drivers don't put their low beams on, don't try to get back at them by putting your own high beams on. This increases glare for oncoming drivers and increases the chance of a crash. Use high beams when you can. Some drivers make the mistake of always using low beams. This seriously cuts down on their ability to see ahead. Use high beams when it is safe and legal to do so. Use them when you are not within 500 feet of an approaching vehicle. Also, don't let the inside of your cab get too bright. This makes it harder to see outside. Keep the interior light off, and adjust your instrument lights as low as you can to still be able to read the gauges. If you get sleepy, stop driving at the nearest safe place. People often don't realize how close they are to falling asleep even when their eyelids are falling shut. If you can safely do so, look at yourself in the mirror. If you look sleepy, or you just feel sleepy, stop driving. You are in a very dangerous condition. The only safe cure is to sleep. 2.12. Driving in fog. Fog can occur at any time. Fog on highways can be extremely dangerous. Fog is often unexpected, and visibility can deteriorate rapidly. You should watch for foggy conditions and be ready to reduce your speed. Do not assume that the fog will thin out after you enter it. The best advice for driving in fog is don't. It is preferable that you pull off the road into a rest area or truck stop until visibility is better. If you must drive, be sure to consider the following. Obey all fog-related warning signs. Slow down before you enter fog. Use low-beam headlights and fog lights for best visibility even in daytime, and be alert for other drivers who may have forgotten to turn on their lights. Turn on your four-way flashers. This will give vehicles approaching you from behind a quicker opportunity to notice your vehicle. Watch for vehicles on the side of the roadway. Seeing taillights or headlights in front of you may not be a true indication of where the road is ahead of you. The vehicle may not be on the road at all. Use roadside highway reflectors as guides to determine how the road may curve ahead of you. Listen for traffic you cannot see. Avoid passing other vehicles. Don't stop along the side of the road unless absolutely necessary. 2.13. Driving in winter. 2.13.1. Vehicle checks. Make sure your vehicle is ready before driving in winter weather. You should make a regular pre-trip inspection, paying extra attention to the following items. Coolant level and antifreeze amount. Make sure the cooling system is full and there is enough antifreeze in the system to protect against freezing. This can be checked with a special coolant tester. Defrosting and heating equipment. Make sure the defrosters work. They are needed for safe driving. Make sure the heater is working, and that you know how to operate it. If you use other heaters and expect to need them, for example, mirror heaters, battery box heaters, fuel tank heaters, check their operation. Wipers and washers. Make sure the windshield wiper blades are in good condition. Make sure the wiper blades press against the window hard enough to wipe the windshield clean, otherwise they may not sweep off snow properly. Make sure the windshield washer works and there is washing fluid in the washer reservoir. Use windshield washer antifreeze to prevent freezing of the washer liquid. If you can't see well enough while driving, for example, if your wipers fail, stop safely and fix the problem. Tires. Make sure you have enough tread on your tires. The drive tires must provide traction to push the rig over wet pavement and through snow. The steering tires must have traction to steer the vehicle. Enough tread is especially important in winter conditions. You must have at least 4/32 inch tread depth in every major groove on front tires and at least 2/32 inch on other tires. More would be better. Use a gauge to determine if you have enough tread for safe driving. Tire chains. You may find yourself in conditions where you can't drive without chains, even to get to a place of safety. Carry the right number of chains and extra cross links. Make sure they will fit your drive tires. Check the chains for broken hooks, worn or broken cross links, and bent or broken side chains. Learn how to put the chains on before you need to do it in snow and ice. Lights and reflectors. Make sure the lights and reflectors are clean. Lights and reflectors are especially important during bad weather. Check from time to time during bad weather to make sure they are clean and working properly. Windows and mirrors. Remove any ice, snow, etc., from the windshield, windows, and mirrors before starting. Use a windshield scraper, snow brush, and windshield defroster as necessary. Handholds, steps, and deck plates. Remove all ice and snow from handholds, steps, and deck plates. This will reduce the danger of slipping. Radiator shutters and winter front. Remove ice from the radiator shutters. Make sure the winter front is not closed too tightly. If the shutters freeze shut or the winter front is closed too much, the engine may overheat and stop. Exhaust system. Exhaust system leaks are especially dangerous when cab ventilation may be poor, windows rolled up, etc. Loose connections could permit poisonous carbon monoxide to leak into your vehicle. Carbon monoxide gas will cause you to be sleepy. In large enough amounts, it can kill you. Check the exhaust system for loose parts and for sounds and signs of leaks. 2.1.3.2 Driving slippery surfaces. Drive slowly and smoothly on slippery roads. If it is very slippery, you shouldn't drive at all. At the first safe place, start gently and slowly. When first starting, get the feel of the road. Don't hurry. Check for ice. Check for ice on the road, especially bridges and overpasses. A lack of spray from other vehicles indicates ice has formed on the road. Also, check your mirrors and wiper blades for ice. If they have ice, the road most likely will be icy as well. Adjust turning and braking to conditions. Make turns as gently as possible. Don't brake any harder than necessary, and don't use the engine brake or speed retarder. They can cause the driving wheels to skid on slippery surfaces. Adjust speed to conditions. Don't pass slower vehicles unless necessary. Go slowly and watch far enough ahead to keep a steady speed. Avoid having to slow down and speed up. Take curves at slower speeds and don't brake while in curves. Be aware that as the temperature rises to the point where ice begins to melt, the road becomes even more slippery. Slow down more. Adjust space to conditions. Don't drive alongside other vehicles. Keep a longer following distance. When you see a traffic jam ahead, slow down or stop to wait for it to clear. Try hard to anticipate stops early and slow down gradually. Watch for snowplows, as well as salt and sand trucks, and give them plenty of room. Wet brakes. When driving in heavy rain or deep standing water, your brakes will get wet. Water in the brakes can cause the brakes to be weak, to apply unevenly, or to grab. This can cause lack of braking power, wheel lock cups, pulling to one side or the other, and jackknife if you pull a trailer. Avoid driving through deep puddles or flowing water if possible. If not, you should slow down and place transmission in a low gear. Gently put on the brakes. This presses linings against brake drums or discs and keeps mud, silt, sand, and water from getting an increase engine RPM and cross the water while keeping light pressure on the brakes. When out of the water, maintain light pressure on the brakes for a short distance to heat them up and dry them out. Make a test stop when safe to do so. Check behind to make sure no one is following, then apply the brakes to be sure they work well. If not, dry them out further as described above. Caution, do not apply too much brake pressure and accelerator at the same time, or you can overheat brake drums and linings. 2.14. Driving in very hot weather. 2.14.1 Vehicle checks. Do a normal pre-trip inspection, but pay special attention to the following items. Tires. Check the tire mounting and air pressure. Inspect the tires every 2 hours or every 100 miles when driving in very hot weather. Air pressure increases with temperature. Do not let air out or the pressure will be too low when the tires cool off. If a tire is too hot to touch, remain stopped until the tire cools off. Otherwise, the tire may blow out or catch fire. Engine oil. The engine oil helps keep the engine cool, as well as lubricating it. Make sure there is enough engine oil. If you have an oil temperature gauge, make sure the temperature is within the proper range while you are driving. Engine coolant. Before starting out, make sure the engine cooling system has enough water and antifreeze according to the engine manufacturer's directions. Antifreeze helps the engine under hot conditions as well as cold conditions. When driving, check the water temperature or coolant temperature gauge from time to time. Make sure that it remains in the normal range. If the gauge goes above the highest safe temperature, there may be something wrong that could lead to engine failure and possibly fire. Stop driving as soon as safely possible and try to find out what is wrong. Some vehicles have sight glasses, see-through coolant overflow containers, or coolant recovery containers. These permit you to check the coolant level while the engine is hot. If the container is not part of the pressurized system, the cap can be safely removed and coolant added even when the engine is at operating temperature. Never remove the radiator cap or any part of the pressurized system until the system has cooled. Steam and boiling water can spray under pressure and cause severe burns. If you can touch the radiator cap with your bare hand, it is probably cool enough to open. If coolant has to be added to a system without a recovery tank or overflow tank, follow these steps. Shut engine off. Wait until engine has cooled. Protect hands. Use gloves or a thick cloth. Turn radiator cap slowly to the first stop, which releases the pressure seal. Step back while pressure is released from cooling system. When all pressure has been released, press down on the cap and turn it further to remove it. Visually check level of coolant and add more coolant if necessary. Replace cap and turn all the way to the closed position. Engine belts. Learn how to check V-belt tightness on your vehicle by pressing on the belts. Loose belts will not turn the water pump and/or fan properly. This will result in overheating. Also, check belts for cracking or other signs of wear. Hoses. Make sure coolant hoses are in good condition. A broken hose while driving can lead to engine failure and even fire. 2.14.2 Driving. Watch for bleeding tar. Tar in the road pavement frequently rises to the surface in very hot weather. Spots where tar bleeds to the surface are very slippery. Go slowly enough to prevent overheating. High speeds create more heat for tires and the engine. In desert conditions, the heat may build up to the point where it is dangerous. The heat will increase chances of tire failure or even fire, and engine failure. Subsection 2.11, 2.12, 2.13, and 2.14 test your knowledge. 1. You should use low beams whenever you can. True or false? 2. What should you do before you drive if you are drowsy? 3. What effects can wet brakes cause? How can you avoid these problems? 4. You should let air out of hot tires so the pressure goes back to normal. True or false? 5. You can safely remove the radiator cap as long as the engine isn't overheated. True or false? These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer all of them, reread subsections 2.11, 2.12, 2.13, and 2.14-2.15. Railroad highway crossings. Railroad highway grade crossings are a special kind of intersection where the roadway crosses train tracks. These crossings are always dangerous. Every such crossing must be approached with the expectation that a train is coming. 2.15.1 Types of crossings. Passive crossings. This type of crossing does not have any type of traffic control device. The decision to stop or proceed rests entirely in your hands. Passive crossings require you to recognize the crossing, search for any train using the tracks and decide if there is sufficient clear space to cross safely. Passive crossings have yellow circular advance warning signs, pavement markings and crossbucks to assist you in recognizing a crossing. Active crossings. This type of crossing has a traffic control device installed at the crossing to regulate traffic at the crossing. These active devices include flashing red lights, with or without bells, and flashing red lights with bells and gates. 2.15.2 Warning signs and devices. Advance warning signs. The round, black on yellow warning sign is placed ahead of a public railroad highway crossing. The advance warning sign tells you to slow down, look and listen for the train, and be prepared to stop at the tracks if a train is coming. See Figure 2.15. Pavement markings. Pavement markings mean the same as the advance warning sign. They consist of an with the letters R and a no passing marking on two-lane roads. See Figure 2.16. There is also a no-passing zone sign on two-lane roads. There may be a white stop line painted on the pavement before the railroad tracks. The front of the school bus must remain behind this line while stopped at the crossing. Round yellow warning sign. Figure 2-15 pavement markings. Figure 2-16 crossbuck signs. This sign marks the grade crossing. It requires you to yield the right of way to the train. If there is no white line painted on the pavement, you must stop the bus before the crossbuck sign. When the road crosses over more than one set of tracks, a sign below the crossbuck indicates the number of tracks. See Figure 2.17. Flashing red light signals. At many highway rail grade crossings, the crossbuck sign has flashing red lights and bells. When the lights begin to flash, stop. A train is approaching. You are required to yield the right of way to the train. If there is more than one track, make sure all tracks are clear before crossing. See Figure 2.18. Gates. Many railroad highway crossings have gates with flashing red lights and bells. Stop when the lights begin to flash and before the gate lowers across the road lane. Remain stopped until the gates go up and the lights have stopped flashing. Proceed when it is safe. See Figure 2.18. Multiple tracks. Figure 2-17 gates lights. Figure 2-18 2.15.3 Driving procedures. Never race a train to a crossing. Never attempt to race a train to a crossing. It is extremely difficult to judge the speed of an approaching train. Reduce speed. Speed must be reduced in accordance with your ability to see approaching trains in any direction, and speed must be held to a point which will permit you to stop short of the tracks in case a stop is necessary. Don't expect to hear a train. Because of noise inside your vehicle, you cannot expect to hear the train horn until the train is dangerously close to the crossing. Don't rely on signals. You should not rely solely upon the presence of warning signals, gates, or flagmen to warn of the approach of trains. Be especially alert at crossings that do not have gates or flashing red light signals. Double tracks require a double check. Remember that a train on one track may hide a train on the other track. Look both ways before crossing. After one train has cleared a crossing, be sure no other trains are near before starting across the tracks. Yard areas and grade crossings in cities and towns. Yard areas and grade crossings in cities and towns are just as dangerous as rural grade crossings. Approach them with as much caution. 2.15.4 Stopping safely at railroad highway crossings. A full stop is required at grade crossings whenever the nature of the cargo makes a stop mandatory under state or federal regulations. Such a stop is otherwise required by law. When stopping, be sure to check for traffic behind you while stopping gradually. Use a pull-out lane, if available. Turn on your four-way emergency flashers. 2.15.5 Crossing the tracks. Railroad crossings with steep approaches can cause your unit to hang up on the tracks. Never permit traffic conditions to trap you in a position where you have to stop on the tracks. Be sure you can get all the way across the tracks before you start across. It takes a typical tractor-trailer unit at least 14 seconds to clear a single track and more than 15 seconds to clear a double track. Do not shift gears while crossing railroad tracks. 2.15.6 Special Situations. Be aware. These trailers can get stuck on raised crossings, low slung units, low boy, car carrier, moving van, possum belly livestock trailer. Single axle tractor pulling a long trailer with its landing gear set to accommodate a tandem axle tractor. If for any reason you get stuck on the tracks, get out of the vehicle and away from the tracks. Check signposts or signal housing at the crossing for emergency notification information. Call 911 or other emergency number. Give the location of the crossing using all identifiable landmarks, especially the DOT number, if posted. 2.16. Mountain driving. In mountain driving, gravity plays a major role. On any upgrade, gravity slows you down. The steeper the grade, the longer the grade, and or the heavier the load, the more you will have to use lower gears to climb hills or mountains. In coming down long, steep downgrades, gravity causes the speed of your vehicle to increase. You must select an appropriate safe speed, then use a low gear and proper braking techniques. You should plan ahead and obtain information about any long, steep grades along your planned route of travel. If possible, talk to other drivers who are familiar with the grades to find out what speeds are safe. You must go slowly enough so your brakes can hold you back without getting too hot. If the brakes become too hot, they may start to fade. This means you have to apply them harder and harder to get the same stopping power. If you continue to use the brakes hard, they can keep fading until you cannot slow down or stop at all. 2.16.1 Select a safe speed. Your most important consideration is to select a speed that is not too fast for the total weight of the vehicle and cargo. Length of the grade. Steepness of the grade. Road conditions. Weather. If a speed limit is posted, or there is a sign indicating maximum safe speed, never exceed the speed shown. Also, look for and heed warning signs indicating the length and steepness of the grade. You must use the braking effect of the engine as the principal way of controlling your speed. The braking effect of the engine is greatest when it is near the governed RPMs and the transmission is in the lower gears. Save your brakes so you will be able to slow or stop as required by road and traffic conditions. 2.16.2 Select the right gear before starting down the grade. Shift the transmission to a low gear before starting down the grade. Do not try to downshift after your speed has already built up. You will not be able to shift into a lower gear. You may not even be able to get back into any gear and all engine braking effect will be lost. Forcing an automatic transmission into a lower gear at high speed could damage the transmission and also lead to loss of all engine braking effect. With older trucks, A rule for choosing gears is to use the same gear going down a hill that you would need to climb the hill. However, new trucks have low friction parts and streamlined shapes for fuel economy. They may also have more powerful engines. This means they can go up hills in higher gears and have less friction and air drag to hold them back going down hills. For that reason, drivers of modern trucks may have to use lower gears going down a hill than would be required to go up the hill. You should know what is right for your vehicle. 2.16.3 Brake fading or failure. Brakes are designed so brake shoes or pads rub against the brake drum or discs to slow the vehicle. Braking creates heat, but brakes are designed to take a lot of heat. However, brakes can fade or fail from excessive heat caused by using them too much and not relying on the engine braking effect. Brake fade is also affected by adjustment. To safely control a vehicle, every brake must do its share of the work. Brakes out of adjustment will stop doing their share before those that are in adjustment. The other brakes can then overheat and fade, and there will not be enough braking available to control the vehicle. Brakes can get out of adjustment quickly, especially when they are used a lot. Also, brake linings wear faster when they are hot. Therefore, brake adjustment must be checked frequently. 2.16.4 Proper braking technique. Remember, the use of brakes on a long and or steep downgrade is only a supplement to the braking effect of the engine. Once the vehicle is in the proper low gear, the following is the proper braking technique. Apply the brakes just hard enough to feel a definite slowdown. When your speed has been reduced to approximately 5 mph below your safe speed, release the brakes. This brake application should last for about 3 seconds. When your speed has increased to your safe speed, repeat steps 1 and 2. For example, if your safe speed is 40 mph, you would not apply the brakes until your speed reaches 40 mph. You now apply the brakes hard enough to gradually reduce your speed to 35 mph and then release the brakes. Repeat this as often as necessary until you have reached the end of the downgrade. Escape ramps have been built on many steep mountain downgrades. Escape ramps are made to stop runaway vehicles safely without injuring drivers and passengers. Escape ramps use a long bed of loose, soft material to slow a runaway vehicle, sometimes in combination with an upgrade. No escape ramp locations on your route. Signs show drivers where ramps are located. Escape ramps save lives, equipment and cargo. Subsection 2.15 and 2.16 Test your knowledge. 1. What factors determine your selection of a safe speed when going down a long, steep downgrade? 2. Why should you be in the proper gear before starting down a hill? 3. Describe the proper braking technique when going down a long, steep downgrade. 4. What type of vehicles can get stuck on a railroad highway crossing? 5. How long does it take for a typical tractor-trailer unit to clear a double track? These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsections 2.15 and 2.16 2.17. Driving emergencies. Traffic emergencies occur when two vehicles are about to collide. Vehicle emergencies occur when tires, brakes, or other critical parts fail. Following the safety practices in this manual can help prevent emergencies. But if an emergency does happen, your chances of avoiding a crash depend upon how well you take action. Actions you can take are discussed below. 2.17.1 Steering to avoid a crash. Stopping is not always the safest thing to do in an emergency. When you don't have enough room to stop, you may have to steer away from what's ahead. Remember, you can almost always turn to miss an obstacle more quickly than you can stop. However, top-heavy vehicles and tractors with multiple trailers may flip over. Keep both hands on the steering wheel. In order to turn quickly, you must have a firm grip on the steering wheel with both hands. The best way to have both hands on the wheel, if there is an emergency, is to keep them there all the time. How to turn quickly and safely. A quick turn can be made safely, if it's done the right way. Here are some points that safe drivers use. Do not apply the brake while you are turning. It's very easy to lock your wheels while turning. If that happens, you may skid out of control. Do not turn any more than needed to clear whatever is in your way. The more sharply you turn, the greater the chances of a skid or rollover. Be prepared to countersteer, that is, to turn the wheel back in the other direction, once you've passed whatever was in your path. Unless you are prepared to countersteer, you won't be able to do it quickly enough. You should think of emergency steering and countersteering as two parts of one driving action. Where to steer? If an oncoming driver has drifted into your lane, a move to your right is best. If that driver realizes what has happened, the natural response will be to return to his or her own lane. If something is blocking your path, the best direction to steer will depend on the situation. If you have been using your mirrors, you'll know which lane is empty and can be safely used. If the shoulder is clear, going right may be best. No one is likely to be driving on the shoulder, but someone may be passing you on the left. You will know if you have been using your mirrors. If you are blocked on both sides, a move to the right may be best. At least you won't force anyone into an opposing traffic lane and a possible head-on collision. Leaving the road. In some emergencies, you may have to drive off the road. It may be less risky than facing a collision with another vehicle. Most shoulders are strong enough to support the weight of a large vehicle and, therefore, offer an available escape route. Here are some guidelines, if you do leave the road. Avoid braking. If possible, avoid using the brakes until your speed has dropped to about 20 mph. Then brake very gently to avoid skidding on a loose surface. Keep one set of wheels on the pavement, if possible. This helps to maintain control. Stay on the shoulder. If the shoulder is clear, stay on it until your vehicle has come to a stop. Signal and check your mirrors before pulling back onto the road. Returning to the road. If you are forced to return to the road before you can stop, use the following procedure. Hold the wheel tightly and turn sharply enough to get right back on the road safely. Don't try to edge gradually back on the road. If you do, your tires might grab unexpectedly and you could lose control. When both front tires are on the paved surface, countersteer immediately. The two turns should be made as a single steer countersteer move. 2.17.2 How to stop quickly and safely. If somebody suddenly pulls out in front of you, your natural response is to hit the brakes. This is a good response if there's enough distance to stop, and you use the brakes correctly. You should brake in a way that will keep your vehicle in a straight line and allow you to turn if it becomes necessary. You can use the controlled braking method or the stab braking method. Controlled braking. With this method, you apply the brakes as hard as you can without locking the wheels. Keep steering wheel movements very small while doing this. If you need to make a larger steering adjustment or if the wheels lock, release the brakes. Reapply the brakes as soon as you can. Stab braking. Apply your brakes all the way. Release brakes when wheels lock up. As soon as the wheels start rolling, apply the brakes fully again. It can take up to 1 second for the wheels to start rolling after you release the brakes. If you reapply the brakes before the wheels start rolling, the vehicle won't straighten out. Don't jam on the brakes. Emergency braking does not mean pushing down on the brake pedal as hard as you can. That will only keep the wheels locked up and cause a skid. If the wheels are skidding, you cannot control the vehicle. 2.17.3 Brake failure. Brakes kept in good condition rarely fail. Most hydraulic brake failures occur for one of two reasons. Air brakes are discussed in Section 5. Loss of hydraulic pressure. Brake fade on long hills. Loss of hydraulic pressure. When the system won't build up pressure, the brake pedal will feel spongy or go to the floor. Here are some things you can do. Downshift. Putting the vehicle into a lower gear will help to slow the vehicle. Pump the brakes. Sometimes pumping the brake pedal will generate enough hydraulic pressure to stop the vehicle. Use the parking brake. The parking or emergency brake is separate from the hydraulic brake system. Therefore, it can be used to slow the vehicle. However, be sure to press the release button or pull the release lever at the same time you use the emergency brake so you can adjust the brake pressure and keep the wheels from locking up. Find an escape route. While slowing the vehicle, look for an escape route, an open field, side street, or escape ramp. Turning uphill is a good way to slow and stop the vehicle. Make sure the vehicle does not start rolling backward after you stop. Put it in low gear, apply the parking brake, and, if necessary, roll back into some obstacle that will stop the vehicle. Brake failure on downgrades. Going slow enough and braking properly will almost always prevent brake failure on long downgrades. Once the brakes have failed, however, you are going to have to look outside your vehicle for something to stop it. Your best hope is an escape ramp. If there is one, there'll be signs telling you about it. Use it. Ramps are usually located a few miles from the top of the downgrade. Every year, hundreds of drivers avoid injury to themselves or damage to their vehicles by using escape ramps. Some escape ramps use soft gravel that resists the motion of the vehicle and brings it to a stop. Others turn uphill, using the hill to stop the vehicle and soft gravel to hold it in place. Any driver who loses brakes going downhill should use an escape ramp if it's available. If you don't use it, your chances of having a serious crash may be much greater. If no escape ramp is available, take the least hazardous escape route you can, such as an open field or a side road that flattens out or turns uphill. Make the move as soon as you know your brakes don't work. The longer you wait, the faster the vehicle will go, and the harder it will be to stop. 2.17.4 Tire Failure. Recognize tire failure. Quickly knowing you have a tire failure will let you have more time to react. Having just a few extra seconds to remember what it is you're supposed to do can help you. The major signs of tire failure are sound. The loud bang of a blowout is an easily recognized sign. Because it can take a few seconds for your vehicle to react, you might think it was some other vehicle. But any time you hear a tire blow, you'd be safest to assume it is yours. Vibration. If the vehicle thumps or vibrates heavily, it may be a sign that one of the tires has gone flat. With a rear tire, that may be the only sign you get. Feel. If the steering feels heavy, it is probably a sign that one of the front tires has failed. Sometimes, failure of a rear tire will cause the vehicle to slide back and forth or fishtail. However, dual rear tires usually prevent this. Respond to tire failure. When a tire fails, your vehicle is in danger. You must immediately hold the steering wheel firmly. If a front tire fails, it can twist the steering wheel out of your hand. The only way to prevent this is to keep a firm grip on the steering wheel with both hands at all times. Stay off the brake. It's natural to want to brake in an emergency. However, braking when a tire has failed could cause loss of control. Unless you're about to run into something, stay off the brake until the vehicle has slowed down. Then brake very gently, pull off the road, and stop. Check the tires. After you've come to a stop, get out and check all the tires. Do this even if the vehicle seems to be handling all right. If one of your dual tires goes, the only way you may know it is by getting out and looking at it. 2.18. Anti-lock braking systems. ABS. ABS is a computerized system that keeps your wheels from locking up during hard brake applications. ABS is in addition to your normal brakes. It does not decrease or increase your normal braking capability. ABS only activates when wheels are about to lock up. ABS does not necessarily shorten your stopping distance, but it does help you keep the vehicle under control during hard braking. 2.18.1 How anti-lock braking systems work. Sensors detect potential wheel lockup. An electronic control unit ECU will then decrease brake pressure to avoid wheel lockup. Brake pressure is adjusted to provide the maximum braking without danger of lockup. ABS works far faster than the driver can respond to potential wheel lockup. At all other times the brake system will operate normally. 2.18.2 Vehicles required to have anti-lock braking systems. The Department of Transportation requires that ABS be on truck tractors with air brakes built on or after March 1, 1997. Other air brake vehicles, trucks, buses, trailers, and converter dollies built on or after March 1, 1998. Hydraulically braked trucks and buses with a gross vehicle weight rating of 10,000 pounds or more built on or after March 1, 1999. Many commercial vehicles built before these dates have been voluntarily equipped with ABS. 2.18.3 How to know if your vehicle is equipped with ABS. Tractors, trucks, and buses will have yellow ABS malfunction lamps on the instrument panel. Trailers will have yellow ABS malfunction lamps on the left side, either on the front or rear corner. Dollies manufactured on or after March 1, 1998, are required to have a lamp on the left side. As a system check on newer vehicles, the malfunction lamp comes on at startup for a bulb check, and then goes out quickly. On older systems, the lamp could stay on until you are driving over 5 mph. If the lamp stays on after the bulb check, or goes on once you are underway, you may have lost ABS control. In the case of towed units manufactured before it was required by the Department of Transportation, it may be difficult to tell if the unit is equipped with ABS. Look under the vehicle for the ECU and wheel speed sensor wires coming from the back of the brakes. 2.18.4 How ABS helps you when you brake hard on slippery surfaces. In a vehicle without ABS, your wheels may lock up. When your steering wheels lock up, you lose steering control. When your other wheels lock up, you may skid, jackknife, or even spin the vehicle. ABS helps you avoid wheel lockup and maintain control. You may or may not be able to stop faster with ABS, but you should be able to steer around an obstacle while braking, and avoid skids caused by over-braking. 2.18.5 ABS on the tractor only or only on the trailer. Having ABS on only the tractor, only the trailer, or even on only one axle, still gives you more control over the vehicle during braking. Brake normally. When only the tractor has ABS, you should be able to maintain steering control, and there is less chance of jacknifing. But keep your eye on the trailer and let up on the brakes if you can safely do so if it begins to swing out. When only the trailer has ABS, the trailer is less likely to swing out, but if you lose steering control or start a tractor jackknife, let up on the brakes if you can safely do so until you regain control. 2.18.6 Braking with ABS. When you drive a vehicle with ABS, you should brake as you always have. In other words, use only the braking force necessary to stop safely and stay in control. Brake the same way, regardless of whether you have ABS on the bus, tractor, the trailer, or both. As you slow down, monitor your tractor and trailer and back off the brakes if it is safe to do so to stay in control. There is only one exception to this procedure. If you drive a straight truck or combination with working ABS on all axles, in an emergency stop, you can fully apply the brakes. 2.18.7 Braking. If ABS is not working, without ABS you still have normal brake functions. Drive and brake as you always have. Vehicles with ABS have yellow malfunction lamps to tell you if something isn't working. As a system check on newer vehicles, the malfunction lamp comes on at startup for a bulb check and then goes out quickly. On older systems, the lamp could stay on until you are driving over 5 mph. If the lamp stays on after the bulb check, or goes on once you are underway, you may have lost ABS control on one or more wheels. Remember, if your ABS malfunctions, you still have regular brakes. Drive normally, but get the system serviced soon. 2.18.8 Safety Reminders. ABS won't allow you to drive faster, follow more closely, or drive less carefully. ABS won't prevent power or turning skids. ABS should prevent brake-induced skids or jackknifes, but not those caused by spinning the drive wheels or going too fast in a turn. ABS won't necessarily shorten stopping distance. ABS will help maintain vehicle control, but not always shorten stopping distance. ABS won't increase or decrease ultimate stopping power. ABS is indeed onto your normal brakes, not a replacement for them. ABS won't change the way you normally brake. Under normal brake conditions, your vehicle will stop as it always stopped. ABS only comes into play when a wheel would normally have locked up because of over-braking. ABS won't compensate for bad brakes or poor brake maintenance. Remember, the best vehicle safely feature is still a safe driver. Remember, drive so you never need to use your ABS. Remember, if you need it, ABS could help to prevent a serious crash. 2.19. Skid control and recovery. A skid happens whenever the tires lose their grip on the road. This is caused in one of four ways: overbraking, braking too hard and locking up the wheels. Skids also can occur when using the speed retarder when the road is slippery. Oversteering, turning the wheels more sharply than the vehicle can turn. Overacceleration, supplying too much power to the drive wheels, causing them to spin. Driving too fast. Most serious skids result from driving too fast for road conditions. Drivers who adjust their driving to conditions don't over-accelerate and don't have to over-brake or oversteer from too much speed. 2.19.1 Drive well skids. Tractor jackknife. Figure 2-19. By far the most common skid is one in which the rear wheels lose traction through excessive braking or acceleration. Skids caused by acceleration usually happen on ice or snow. Taking your foot off the accelerator can easily stop them. If it is very slippery, push the clutch in. Otherwise, the engine can keep the wheels from rolling freely and regaining traction. Rear wheel braking skids occur when the rear drive wheels lock. Because locked wheels have less traction than rolling wheels, the rear wheels usually slide sideways in an attempt to catch up with the front wheels. In a bus or stray truck, the vehicle will slide sideways in a spin-out. With vehicles towing trailers, a drive well skid can let the trailer push the towing vehicle sideways, causing a sudden jackknife. See Figure 2.19. 2.19.2 Correcting a drive well braking skid. Do the following to correct a drive well braking skid. Stop braking. This will let the rear wheels roll again and keep the rear wheels from sliding any counter-steer. As a vehicle turns back on course, it has a tendency to keep on turning. Unless you turn the steering wheel quickly the other way, you may find yourself skidding in the opposite direction. Learning to stay off the brake, turn the steering wheel quickly, push in the clutch, and counter-steer in a skid takes a lot of practice. The best place to get this practice is on a large driving range or skid pad. 2.19.3 Front wheel skids. Driving too fast for conditions causes most front wheel skids. Other causes include lack of tread on the front tires and cargo loaded so not enough weight is on the front axle. In a front wheel skid, the front end tends to go in a straight line regardless of how much you turn the steering wheel. On a very slippery surface, you may not be able to steer around a curve or turn. When a front wheel skid occurs, the only way to stop the skid is to let the vehicle slow down. Stop turning and/or braking so hard. Slow down as quickly as possible without skidding. Subsection 2.17, 2.18, and 2.19 test your knowledge. 1. Stopping is not always the safest thing to do in an emergency. True or false? 2. What are some advantages of going right instead of left around an obstacle? 3. What is an escape ramp? 4. If a tire blows out, you should put the brakes on hard to stop quickly. True or false? 5. How do you know if your vehicle has anti-lock brakes? 6. What is the proper braking technique when driving a vehicle with anti-lock brakes? 7. How do anti-lock brakes help you? These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsections 2.17, 2.18, and 2.19 2.20. Accident procedures. When you're in an accident and not seriously hurt, you need to act to prevent further damage or injury. The basic steps to be taken at any accident are to protect the area, notify authorities, care for the injured. 2.20.1 Protect the area. The first thing to do at an accident scene is to keep another accident from happening in the same spot. To protect the accident area, if your vehicle is involved in the accident, try to get it to the side of the road. This will help prevent another accident and allow traffic to move. If you're stopping to help, park away from the accident. The area immediately around the accident will be needed for emergency vehicles. Put on your flashers. Set out reflective triangles to warn other traffic. Make sure other drivers can see them in time to avoid the accident. 2.20.2 Notify authorities. If you have a cell phone or CB, call for assistance before you get out of your vehicle. If not, wait until after the accident scene has been properly protected, then phone or send someone to phone the police. Try to determine where you are so you can give the exact location. 2.20.3 Care for the injured. If a qualified person is at the accident and helping the injured, stay out of the way unless asked to assist. Otherwise, do the best you can to help any injured parties. Here are some simple steps to follow in giving assistance. Don't move a severely injured person unless the danger of fire or passing traffic makes it necessary. Stop heavy bleeding by applying direct pressure to the wound. Keep the injured person warm. 2.21. Fires. Truck fires can cause damage and injury. Learn the causes of fires and how to prevent them. Know what to do to extinguish fires. 2.21.1 Causes of fire. The following are some causes of vehicle fires after accidents. Spilled fuel, improper use of flares. Tires. Underinflated tires and duals that touch. Electrical system. Short circuits due to damaged insulation, loose connections. Fuel. Driver smoking, improper fueling, loose fuel connections. Cargo. Flammable cargo, improperly sealed or loaded cargo, poor ventilation. 2.21.2 Fire prevention. Pay attention to the following. Pre-trip inspection. Make a complete inspection of the electrical, fuel, and exhaust systems, tires, and cargo. Be sure to check that the fire extinguisher is charged. En route inspection. Check the tires, wheels, and truck body for signs of heat whenever you stop during a trip. Follow safe procedures. Follow correct safety procedures for fueling the vehicle, using brakes, handling flares, and other activities that can cause a fire. Monitoring. Check the instruments and gauges often for signs of overheating and use the mirrors to look for signs of smoke from tires or the vehicle. Caution. Use normal caution in handling anything flammable. 2.21.3 Firefighting class. Types of fires. Figure 2-20. Class of fire. Type of extinguisher. Figure 2-21. Knowing how to fight fires is important. Drivers who didn't know what to do have made fires worse. Know how the fire extinguisher works. Study the instructions printed on the extinguisher before you need it. Here are some procedures to follow in case of fire. Pull off the road. The first step is to get the vehicle off the road and stop. In doing so, park in an open area, away from buildings, trees, brush, other vehicles, or anything that might catch fire. Don't pull into a service station. Notify emergency services of your problem and your location. Keep the fire from spreading. Before trying to put out the fire, make sure that it doesn't spread any further. With an engine fire, turn off the engine as soon as you can. Don't open the hood if you can avoid it. Shoot foam through louvers, radiator, or from the vehicle's underside. For a cargo fire in a van or box trailer, keep the doors shut, especially if your cargo contains hazardous materials. Opening the van doors will supply the fire with oxygen and can cause it to burn very fast. Extinguish the fire. Here are some rules to follow in putting out a fire. When using the extinguisher, stay as far away from the fire as possible. Aim at the source or base of the fire, not up in the flames. Use the right fire extinguisher figures 2.20 and 2.21 to tell the type of fire extinguisher to use by class of fire. The B, C type fire extinguisher is designed to work on electrical fires and burning liquids. The A, B, C type is designed to work on burning wood, paper, and cloth as well. Water can be used on wood, paper, or cloth, but don't use water on an electrical fire can cause shock or a gasoline fire it will spread the flames. A burning tire must be cooled. Lots of water may be required. If you're not sure what to use, especially on a hazardous materials fire, wait for firefighters. Position yourself upwind. Let the wind carry the extinguisher to the fire. Continue until whatever was burning has been cooled. Absence of smoke or flame does not mean the fire cannot restart. Subsection 2.20 and 2.21 test your knowledge 1. What are some things to do at an accident scene to prevent another accident? 2. Name two causes of tire fires. 3. What kinds of fires is A, B, C extinguisher not good for? 4. When using your extinguisher, should you get as close as possible to the fire? 5. Name some causes of vehicle fires. These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsections 2.20 and 2.21 2.22. Alcohol, other drugs, and driving 2.2-2.1 alcohol and driving what is a drink? Figure 2-22 drinking alcohol and then driving is very dangerous and a serious problem. People who drink alcohol are involved in traffic accidents resulting in over 20,000 deaths every year. Alcohol impairs muscle coordination, reaction time, depth perception, and night vision. It also affects the parts of the brain that control judgment and inhibition. For some people, one drink is all it takes to show signs of impairment. How alcohol works. Alcohol goes directly into the bloodstream and is carried to the brain. After passing through the brain, a small percentage is removed in urine, perspiration, and by breathing, while the rest is carried to the liver. The liver can only process 1/3 an ounce of alcohol per hour, which is considerably less than the alcohol in a standard drink. This is a fixed rate, so only time, not black coffee or a cold shower, will sober you up. If you have drinks faster than your body can get rid of them, you will have more alcohol in your body, and your driving will be more affected. The blood alcohol concentration BAC commonly measures the amount of alcohol in your body. See Figure 2.22. All of the following drinks contain the same amount of alcohol, a 12-ounce glass of 5% beer, a 5-ounce glass of 12% wine, a 1.5-ounce shot of 80-proof liquor. What determines blood alcohol concentration? BAC is determined by the amount of alcohol you drink. More alcohol means higher BAC. How fast do you drink? Faster drinking means higher BAC. And your weight, a small person doesn't have to drink as much to reach the same BAC. Alcohol in the brain. Alcohol affects more and more of the brain as BAC builds up. The first part of the brain affected controls judgment and self-control. One of the bad things about this is it can keep drinkers from knowing they are getting drunk. And, of course, good judgment and self-control are absolutely necessary for safe driving. As BAC continues to build up, muscle control, vision and coordination are affected more and more. Effects on driving may include straddling lanes, quick, jerky starts, not signaling, failure to use lights, running stop signs and red lights, improper passing. See figure 2.23. These effects mean increased chances of a crash and chances of losing your driver's license. Accident statistics show that the chance of a crash is much greater for drivers who have been drinking than for drivers who have not. Effects of increasing BAC figure 2-23. How alcohol affects driving. All drivers are affected by drinking alcohol. Alcohol affects judgment, vision, coordination, and reaction time. It causes serious driving errors, such as increased reaction time to hazards, driving too fast or too slow, driving in the wrong lane, running over the curb. Weaving 2.2 other drugs besides alcohol. Other legal and illegal drugs are being used more often. Laws prohibit possession or use of many drugs while on duty. They prohibit being under the influence of any controlled substance, amphetamines including pep pills, uppers, and bennies, narcotics, or any other substance, which can make the driver unsafe. This could include a variety of prescription and over-the-counter drugs, cold medicines, which may make the driver drowsy or otherwise affect safe driving ability. However, possession and use of a drug given to a driver by a doctor is permitted if the doctor informs the driver that it will not affect safe driving ability. Pay attention to warning labels for legitimate drugs and medicines, and to doctors' orders regarding possible effects. Stay away from illegal drugs. Don't use any drug that hides fatigue. The only cure for fatigue is rest. Alcohol can make the effects of other drugs much worse. The safest rule is don't mix drugs with driving at all. Use of drugs can lead to traffic accidents resulting in death, injury, and property damage. Furthermore, it can lead to arrest, fines, and jail sentences. It can also mean the end of a person's driving career. 2.23. Staying alert and fit to drive. Driving a vehicle for long hours is tiring. Even the best of drivers will become less alert. However, there are things that good drivers do to help stay alert and safe. 2.23.1 Be ready to drive. Get enough sleep. Sleep is not like money. You can't save it up ahead of time and you can't borrow it. But, just as with money, you can go into debt with it. If you don't sleep enough, you owe more sleep to yourself. This debt can only be paid off by sleeping. You can overcome it with willpower, and it won't go away by itself. The average person needs 7 or 8 hours of sleep every 24 hours. Leaving on a long trip when you're already tired is dangerous. If you have a long trip scheduled, make sure that you get enough sleep before you go. Schedule trip safely. Try to arrange your schedule so you are not in leap debt before a long trip. Your body gets used to sleeping during certain hours. If you are driving during those hours, you will be less alert. If possible, try to schedule trips for the hours you are normally awake. Many heavy motor vehicle accidents occur between midnight and 6 a.m. Tired drivers can easily fall asleep at these times, especially if they don't regularly drive at those hours. Trying to push on and finish a long trip at these times can be very dangerous. Exercise regularly. Resistance to fatigue and improved sleep are among the benefits of regular exercise. Try to incorporate exercise into your daily life. Instead of sitting and watching TV in your sleeper, walk or jog a few laps around the parking lot. A little bit of daily exercise will give you energy throughout the day. Eat healthy. It is often hard for drivers to find healthy food. But with a little extra effort, you can eat healthy, even on the road. Try to find restaurants with healthy, balanced meals. If you must eat at fast food restaurants, pick low-fat items. Another simple way to reduce your caloric intake is to eliminate fattening snacks. Instead, try fruit or vegetables. Avoid medication. Many medicines can make you sleepy. Those that do have a label warning against operating vehicles or machinery. The most common medicine of this type is an ordinary cold pill. If you have to drive with a cold, you are better off suffering from the cold than from the effects of the medicine. Visit your doctor. Regular checkups literally can be lifesavers. Illnesses such as diabetes, heart disease, and skin and colon cancer can be detected easily and treated if found in time. You should consult your physician or a local sleep disorder center if you suffered from frequent daytime sleepiness, have difficulty sleeping at night, take frequent naps, fall asleep at strange times, snore loudly, gasp and choke in your sleep, and/or wake up feeling as though you have not had enough sleep. 2.23.2 While you are driving, keep cool. A hot, poorly ventilated vehicle can make you sleepy. Keep the window or vent cracked open or use the air conditioner, if you have one. Take breaks. Short breaks can keep you alert. But the time to take them is before you feel really drowsy or tired. Stop often. Walk around and inspect your vehicle. It may help to do some physical exercises. Be sure to take a mid-afternoon break and plan to sleep between midnight and 6 a.m. Recognize the danger signals of drowsy driving. Sleep is not voluntary. If you're drowsy, you can fall asleep and never even know it. If you are drowsy, you're likely to have microsleeps, brief naps that last around 4 or 5 seconds. At 55 miles an hour, that's more than 100 yards, and plenty of time for a crash. Even if you are not aware of being drowsy, if you have a sleep debt, you are still at risk. Here are a few ways to tell if you're about to fall asleep. If you experience any of these danger signs, take them as a warning that you could fall asleep without meaning to. Your eyes close or go out of focus by themselves. You have trouble keeping your head up. You can't stop yawning. You have wandering, disconnected thoughts. You don't remember driving the last few miles. You drift between lanes, tailgate, or miss traffic signs. You keep jerking the truck back into the lane. You have drifted off the road and narrowly missed crashing. If you have even one of these symptoms, you may be in danger of falling asleep. Pull off the road in a safe place and take a nap. 2.23.3 When you do become sleepy, when you are sleepy, trying to push on is far more dangerous than most drivers think. It is a major cause of fatal accidents. Here are some important rules to follow. Stop to sleep. When your body needs sleep, sleep is the only thing that will work. If you have to make a stop anyway, make it whenever you feel the first signs of sleepiness, even if it is earlier than you planned. By getting up a little earlier the next day, you can keep on schedule without the danger of driving while you are not alert. Take a nap. If you can't stop for the night, at least pull off at a safe place, such as a rest area or truck stop, and take a nap. A nap as short as a half hour will do more to overcome fatigue than a half hour coffee stop. Avoid drugs. There are no drugs that can overcome being tired. While they may keep you awake for a while, they won't make you alert. And eventually, you'll be even more tired than if you hadn't taken them at all. Sleep is the only thing that can overcome fatigue. Do not rely on coffee or another source of caffeine to keep you awake. Do not count on the radio, an open window, or other tricks to keep you awake. 2.23.4 Illness. Once in a while, you may become so ill that you cannot operate a motor vehicle safely. If this happens to you, you must not drive. However, in case of an emergency, you may drive to the nearest place where you can safely stop. 2.24 Hazardous materials rules for all commercial drivers. All drivers should know something about hazardous materials. You must be able to recognize hazardous cargo, and you must know whether or not you can haul it without having a hazardous materials endorsement on your CDL license. 2.24.1 What are hazardous materials? Hazardous class definitions. Figure 2-24 Hazardous materials are products that pose a risk to health, safety, and property during transportation. See Figure 2.24. 2.24.2 Why are there rules? You must follow the many rules about transporting hazardous materials. The intent of the rules is to contain the product, communicate the risk, ensure safe drivers and equipment, to contain the product. Many hazardous products can injure or kill on contact. To protect drivers and others from contact, the rules tell shippers how to package safely. Similar rules tell drivers how to load, transport, and unload bulk tanks. These are containment rules. To communicate the risk, the shipper uses a shipping paper and diamond-shaped hazard labels to warn dock workers and drivers of the risk. After an accident or hazardous material spill or leak, you may be injured and unable to communicate the hazards of the materials you are transporting. Firefighters and police can prevent or reduce the amount of damage or injury at the scene if they know what hazardous materials are being carried. Your life, and the lives of others, may depend on quickly locating the hazardous materials shipping papers. For that reason, you must tab shipping papers related to hazardous materials or keep them on top of other shipping papers. You must also keep shipping papers in a pouch on the driver's door, or in clear view within reach while driving, or on the driver's seat when out of the vehicle. 2.24.3 Lists of regulated products. Placards. Figure 2-25 Placards are used to warn others of hazardous materials. Placards are signs put on the outside of a vehicle that identify the hazard class of the cargo. A placarded vehicle must have at least 4 identical placards. They are put on the front, rear, and both sides. Placards must be readable from all 4 directions. They are at least 10¾ inches square, turned upright on a point, in a diamond shape. Cargo tanks and other bulk packaging display the identification number of their contents on placards or orange panels. Identification numbers are a 4-digit code used by first responders to identify hazardous materials. An identification number may be used to identify more than one chemical on shipping papers. The identification number will be preceded by the letters A or N. The USDOT Emergency Response Guidebook ERG identifies the chemicals all identification numbers are assigned to. Not all vehicles carrying hazardous materials need to have placards. The rules about placards are given in Section 9 of this manual. You can drive a vehicle that carries hazardous materials if it does not require placards. If it requires placards, you cannot drive it unless your driver license has the hazardous materials endorsement. See Figure 2.25. The rules require all drivers of placarded vehicles to learn how to safely load and transport hazardous products. They must have a commercial driver license with the hazardous materials endorsement. To get the required endorsement, you must pass a written test on material found in Section 9 of this manual. A tank endorsement is required for certain vehicles that transport liquids or gases. The liquid or gas does not have to be a hazardous material. A tank endorsement is only required if your vehicle needs a Class A or B CDL and your vehicle has a permanently mounted cargo tank of any capacity, or your vehicle is carrying a portable tank with a capacity of 1,000 gallons or more. Drivers who need the hazardous materials endorsement must learn the placard rules. If you do not know if your vehicle needs placards, ask your employer. Never drive a vehicle needing placards unless you have the hazardous materials endorsement. To do so is a crime. When stopped, you will be cited and you will not be allowed to drive your truck further. It will cost you time and money. A failure to placard when needed may risk your life and others if you have an accident. Emergency help will not know of your hazardous cargo. Hazardous materials drivers must also know which products they can load together and which they cannot. These rules are also in Section 9. Before loading a truck with more than one type of product, you must know if it is safe to load them together. If you do not know, ask your employer. Subsection 2.22, 2.23, and 2.24 test your knowledge. 1. Common medicines for colds can make you sleepy. True or false? 2. What should you do if you become sleepy while driving? 3. Coffee and a little fresh air will help a drinker sober up. True or false? 4. What is a hazardous materials placard? 5. Why are placards used? 6. What is leaped at? 7. What are the danger signals of drowsy driving? These questions may be on the test. If you can't answer them all, reread subsections 2.22, 2.23, and 2.24.